So anyways, then I was just there and he's like, don't even say that. It's like, whatever, Rico. Yo, you want to hit him with that intro?
Sure.
Hit him with that intro, bro. Go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another fabulous episode of the Off My Chest podcast, After Dark Edition. We are actually recording this one a little bit later than we usually do.
On the day that it's supposed to be released.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The mood is set. The lights are dimmed.
It's nice down here.
Yes, it is. Things could get weird.
Possibly. So, yeah. For the people that don't know who we are, hey, what's up? My name is Bryce Meehan, and as always, my co-host Alex Hebert is sitting across from me. We got a lot to talk about. That's why we wanted to get this in, and we obviously didn't get to record this weekend because it was a very busy weekend, at least for me, as I know it was for you as well, which is, it was so worth it, though. We had a good time. Please tell the fans what we got to go see. We got to go witness.
We got to go become see. We got to go to the church.
We did.
Joey fucking Coco Diaz.
Yeah, and he did not disappoint.
Oh, it was so good.
Dude, the part where he starts fucking talking about the fucking only reason that guy took those kids into the cave, the Thai kids or whatever, the soccer team. Oh, I'm not trying to give away a stand-up bit. I don't want to talk about it too much, but basically just going in about these kids. The only reason that a grown adult would take 12 young boys into a fucking cave is you can fill in the rest. And then of course his spin, you know, like his whole being getting into it and how he. His reactions, you know, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, there's only one reason. Like, and he just gets so worked up. You gotta fucking be into
it. I don't think I've ever laughed that hard in my life. Yeah. Legitimately. I mean, he's so good, and he was exactly what I wanted him to be.
Yeah.
Because we had planned this for a while, and I'm thinking, I don't want him to, I feel like I've almost built it up so much in my head
that it
couldn't live up, and it blew past those expectations.
Yeah. And his Dean Del Rey was freaking, he was amazing too.
He was good. And
he played the crowd. He played some good shit.
Oh, yeah. The crazy thing is when you go and, I mean, both you and I love stand up comedy, and they said there are guys who are good enough to go and be telling their jokes, but in their head be thinking, like, I wonder what I'm doing for dinner today. What do I want? Kind of thing. You know, they could be going on this 20 minute rant about, like, their mom or, you know, their job or their...
Well, and he would be mid-rant and you would see him like, oh, like something would catch his eye in the crowd and you're just like, whoa, like that's some talent, man.
Yeah, because the thing is if you notice, like, it's a big difference between, like, you know, Big Jay Oakerson, guy who's on Legion of Skanks.
Yeah.
He's done an entire hour of just crowd work.
Yeah.
And then you go and you see someone like Anthony Jeselnik. Anthony Jeselnik just does one liner.
He's following his script.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was not disappointed by any means. I really, we went to this place here. It's we have the Kansas City Improv. It's in a shopping center here called Zona Rosa. So it's like an outdoor shopping center. Really nice during the summer anyway. Here in the winter, it's not so hot. but a couple restaurants that we like to go to. And then this place next to it is like a huge old school arcade slash bar, which are popping up everywhere around the States. So you can go play, you know, Miss Pac-Man and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Skee-Ball.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, literally every old arcade game where you used to go in and put quarters in and, you know, there was a joystick and your buttons. Freaking great time there. Except we tried to go see that show again on Saturday night. So we tried to go the next night and we tried to get some drinks before. And I don't even, it was like pulling tea. Like, how long did we sit there?
Five.
It was a little longer.
7 minutes,
maybe.
It was
probably, yeah. I would say, I would even go to 10. We literally, excuse me, we walk in and we just sit there and you can see all of the bartenders and just and it's not like we walked up to a crowded bar, people.
Yeah.
Like literally people are already in the show. We're just trying to get some drinks and nothing. I mean, we might as well not even been there.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, both you and I had been in the service industry. If we'd walked in and saw, like, they've got four people, four deep around the bar, it'd be like, okay, this is going to take a while.
Yeah. But when there's nobody there, you think you're going to be able to run up, grab something. Yeah. And the funny thing is, it was the same bartenders from the night before. And the girl bartender, you know, she was very attentive for a little bit the night before, but it was that same thing where her friends were there, and it's like, how is this bitch the bar manager? Like, and I know that she is, and it's just like, there's no fucking... Anyways, it doesn't matter. Just, it was terrible service. But no matter what, we had a fucking great time. Coco, Uncle Joey, whatever you want to be called, fucking love you, man. We'll shout you out just because we love you. And Dean Del Rey, seriously, I'm a new fan.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't know a lot of your stuff, but literally I've been listening to your podcast. Is dope as well. So yeah, if you guys ever want to be on, I know we always say that, but you know, you got to put it out there in the universe or it's never going to happen. So with that being said, what else we got, bro? What else have you seen?
Well,
what's some funny shit?
Well, think about this. Got to start buying our tickets for the next show.
Bert Kreischer.
The machine. Fuck
that bitch. This is Russia.
Fuck that bitch. This is Russia.
Have you seen preview for his new special?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, really good? No, it's just a preview. It's a Secret Time.
Yeah, and no, I mean, I've seen the poster.
Yeah, and he talks about how he was in a hurry to go get to his kids' parent-teacher conference and grabbed a can, and he thought it was a Diet Coke and got there, cracked it open, looked down, it was a Coors Light.
Oh.
And he looks down, and he's like, I've got a situation to deal with right here. And you could tell he just went and just chugged it.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, he does. He says that this one is all about his family. Like, it's just, which is going to be amazing, because he already talks about it on his podcast, the Bertcast, about the shenanigans that his daughters get him in. And just, I love the guy. I mean, I'm a little biased. I don't know. I think he's really funny because, one, he cracks himself up more than he gives a shit about making anybody else laugh. And I don't know if anybody else knows this, but the Ryan Reynolds movie, Van Wilder, is written about Bert Kreischer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I had no, because he went to fucking school forever.
Oh, yeah.
And his fucking dad's a lawyer. Mm. All that
the
shit.
Best. Someone described him. They called him the, and you listen, and it's a perfect fit. They called him the drunk Forrest Gump.
Oh.
And if you think,
trying to triathlon.
He did. But no, you think about it. You hear all these stories, and he's that guy. You're like, you could tell he looks. He's like, I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
And he does.
Humble. I mean, at least, I've never met him, so I don't know if he really is humble. He may just be talking it up. But I mean, it seems like all the fans and stuff, besides the one to just call him, you know, fucking Fat Bert or whatever the fuck.
Bert is fat.
Yeah, Bert is fat. Or that whole Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, you know, back and forth. God. But yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. I think that he's genuine in the fact that he, everything that he's gotten, he's earned, but it's also come to him at like he says, you know, he got founded, he was started 6 months in comedy, and then Will Smith gave him a contract or something.
Yeah, Oliver Stone optioned the rights to his life, all that stuff. And he's probably looking around, he's like, what kind of thing. And I mean, yeah, but
he's blown up since obviously everybody knows him from the Machine story that blew up during Christmas.
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't seen that, just go watch it on YouTube. Just type in Bert Kreischer, the Machine, or just type in the Machine, and I'm sure it's one of the first things that shows up.
Oh, yeah.
The Machine comedy. But yeah, no, we have to get tickets for that. And then you were saying something about VIP. Do you know what's entailed in that?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's like a meet and greet, something like that. Just said it's like, I think it's like $45 or something.
Yeah.
We got to do that because we got to go. We got to have drinks. We both got to go take the shirts off and get a picture with him.
Oh, dude, I'm so down.
Oh, God.
I am so down to get shirts off with that guy. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
hopefully gives me a little nipple grab. I don't care. I'm in.
Put it on the Twitter page.
Oh, dude. I don't know about that, but I mean, actually, you know what? I don't give a shit.
That'll be for the private collection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll hold that back for, you know, when people start raffling off stuff. But yeah, no, I'm super excited about that, man. God. I think it's going to be, he's just so good. He's good. Everybody that we talk about on here, obviously you guys know, like Alex said, comedy is a huge thing for us, and it's really been a bonding thing for our friendship, but especially the people that we listen to all the time. That's the other part. It's part of our daily conversation of, did you hear this on the podcast? Yeah. Did you hear this from this guy? And so, yeah, no, yeah. It's going to be good.
The biggest, you know, because it's amazing. Like it, someone described and they said, it's the best thing when you go and you tell someone about a podcast they've never heard.
Yeah.
Like my biggest thing was, telling someone about Legion of Skanks.
Oh yeah, you told me about Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, and I had to like warn you, like, hey,
you have to preface it.
This ain't for
ain't your average, bro.
Yeah, this ain't for everyone. Yeah. And I mean, there was literally a joke on there, and I'm like, I've heard all the stuff they've done on there, and there was a joke that they said Big J used to do, and he's like, it was too much for my act, and I'm like, what? And he goes and he said it, and it was pretty much saying, he said, some people say the Holocaust can never be funny. But imagine the woman that go and got the number, or someone got numbers 8675309 on their arm. 8675309. He's like, that's kind of funny. And they're like, what are the odds of that? It's like, well, I'm no math genius, but I'm pretty sure that's 1 in 6 million. And I heard that, and I'm just like, I'm literally going, I'm driving down, and I start laughing for like 20 seconds, and I'm just like, oh,
dude, that's fucking awesome. I've never heard that.
Have you heard the hate speech the bear?
No, I haven't. What was that about?
Anthony Cumia got him a little stuffed teddy bear, and you go and you hit it, and it was from American History X, the song that Ethan Suplee sings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not going to say the words to the song, but okay. If
someone look it up.
Yeah, someone, you can look it up, American History X, and you'll see big fat guy in a van, and he's singing a song, drops a few racial slurs in there, but it goes in. But you see the bear, and they look, and it's like, he looks so happy.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of freaking shit that's been nuts, have you been watching This Is America, or the Sacha Baron Cohen special on Showtime? Oh my god, this dude is just making us. Now, granted, Sacha Baron Cohen, his whole job is to make you look stupid. Yeah. I mean, that's, he's trying to set you up, but this, he gets these people into some precarious situations, and people that are well known. I mean, he's had Dick Cheney on there. I mean, he's had all of these. He had Dick Cheney sign his waterboarding kit because he's acting like he's an Islamic, like basically army ranger that's coming here trying to teach people how to do this stuff, and literally he has a water bottle, like a huge gallon water jug, and he's like, will you please send my waterboarding kit? And he's like, never done this before, but he totally fucking does it.
That's just funny. Dude.
Anyways, if you guys haven't seen that, it's 5 episodes deep right now, and they're maybe 30, 40 minutes, but they are fucking.
Wasn't that the show with the guy from Georgia, the one where he went and dropped his pants and like spread his cheeks and like ran backwards.
Well, he said the N bomb like 1,000 times because he's, and the thing is, it wasn't even provoked. He said, make sure that you can get somebody's attention so they can come and help you. And then he just goes, and then he just starts screaming it on his own accord. Yeah.
And they go, and Sasha's probably like this and all gold. Of a sudden someone's like, do we like stop? It's like, no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. Let him roll.
Let him go. It's like, we're going to go and get 70 million views on YouTube.
Oh, dude, they are blowing up. And some of it's sad because he's totally setting people up, and you can tell. Yeah. And it's come out that he's like giving them awards to get them to show up. But he's done like all these other, like he's done literally 10 different characters in this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's deep, dude. Yeah, oh, but wow. You'll have to watch it.
I'll have to check it out.
Speaking of getting deep and getting crazy, what's up with all these people with planes and?
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, we'll start with the one that I heard. Guy apparently went, got into a fight with his wife, and he went and she kicked him out. So he pretty much said, "Fuck you." Went, he flew a plane.
He's a pilot.
He had his pilot's license, like a small little plane. Went above their house and he nosedived right into their house.
No.
Yes.
Because of a fight?
Yeah. I mean, I've been pissed at people, but can you imagine saying, you know what? I'm just going
to. Obviously, he died, right?
Can you just imagine saying, like, I'm just going to Pearl Harbor this bitch?
Whoa, bro. Easy.
Hey, it's the After Dark Edition. We get dirty.
There's no zeros out here, man. Yeah, dude. No, I couldn't. But I mean, that same thing. You don't know what's going through people's heads. Like this guy, I'm sure everybody's heard it by now. We're a little late to the party, but you know, I don't know if you've heard the audio. Actually, let's start with that. Let's listen to the audio and then we'll make some comments. So hold on.
An empty commercial airplane stolen by an airline employee. That man taking the plane on an hour-long joyride near Seattle, even attempting to do some stunts while armed military fighter jets followed behind him. Then the 29-year-old ground services agent, who we don't know the identity of yet, crashed the plane into the ground, killing himself. We have the chilling audio of the man talking to air traffic controllers over the course of that hour. Take a listen.
I got a lot of people that care about me, and
that's him.
It's gonna disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy, got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
Not
hey,
nuts.
You think if I land this successfully, Alaska will give me a job as a pilot?
You know, I think they would give you a job doing anything if you could pull this off.
Yeah, right.
Dude, look at this. Look what he just
if
does
you
right
want
here.
It to land,
he almost hits the water.
Probably the best bet is that runway just
he's doing
ahead
loops.
To your left.
And again, this pilot guy's trying to like, just trying to talk him down, get him to land the plane.
If you wanted to try, that might be the best way to set up and see if he can land there. Yeah. Or just like the pilot suggests, another option would be over Puget Sound into the water.
Dang, you talk to McCord yet? Because I don't think I'd be happy with you telling me I could land like that.
McCord's
a
military base.
Well, they already talked to him, and just like me, what we want to see is you not get hurt or anybody else get hurt. So, like I said, if you want to try to land,
and mind you, he's being followed by two F-15s right now.
Hey, I want the coordinates of that orca with the mama orca with the baby. I want to go see that guy. Hey,
he's just up there joyriding.
Does this thing do a backflip, you think? Think I'm
going
to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, I'll just go nose down and call it a night. Man, have you been to the Olympics? These guys are gorgeous. Holy smokes.
Now let's try to land that airplane safely.
He's talking
not
about
hurt anybody on the ground.
All right. Nah, damn it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to. I was kind of hoping that was going to be it, you know?
That was after he pulled. So he pulled that loop, and he was just like, all right, man, that's like he. Oop. Still getting stuff in there.
You can pretty much tell just in his voice, like, how calm he is. Like, he had finally made that decision.
He's too far, you know, like, you're not changing his mind. Like, he went up there knowing, and he's part of the ground crew, so he was able to move. They teach them how to move the planes and do all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, I was saying that it was funny before we got on mic, because you listen to that audio, and it's not funny in the fact of, obviously, a man taking his life and being however he felt inside. I mean, he was married. Mm-hmm. You know, we know all this stuff now. But the fact that he's still joking, he's talking about going to see a whale and an orca, and he's like, hey, pilot guy, you think this thing will do a backflip? Like, I mean, he's just – and then you watch the video. The guys haven't seen it. He literally starts to go. He's barrel rolling. He starts to go backwards to go into a loop, and then somehow – if I can put this into words. So he's pulling up. Imagine pulling up on the joystick. He's going backwards. And as he's going backwards, he rolls it over onto its back. And then as it's going on its back, he then pushes it forward so that he can continue that loop. And he's literally like 20 feet off the water and he makes it. And that's the one he was talking about where he was saying, because a lot of that was cut up by by CNN or whatever provider that was. But it's a move, and he's on a freaking 100-passenger prop plane pulling these aerial stunts, and you know, and then I think it's funny, like, hey, you think I land this thing? Alaska will give me a job. Like, I mean, just the balls on the guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Obviously, he was, you know, he ended up crashing off this small little island off Puget Sound. But yeah, it's super sad. But I'm sorry if I'm freaking over it and I'm going to go out. I mean,
yeah,
go fly a freaking commercial airliner for an hour and then, you know,
oh, yeah.
Now he's very lucky he didn't hurt anybody because there are people that live on that island and stuff like that. But I mean, just in the audio, he just sounds like a happy, normal dude. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like that from that Bill Burr special, you know, bring it back to comedy, where he talked about, you know, Bill Burr flies helicopters. And
he does?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'll go if he's in, like, California. He will go and he'll just, like, be at a gig. He'll go to, like, the airport.
Rent one?
Like, have one there and just fly to his gig, come back. I'm like, that's insane. But he talked about a guy who trained, or, you know, he heard a story that this guy ran this, you know, business for like 30 years, handed down to his son, the American dream. Son's third day up with this guy. And, you know, he's still getting like the spiel down and all that.
It's like a tourist company?
Yeah. He'll go up and all that. And said, guy went. Middle of the thing, jumped out.
What?
Yeah. No, the guy who was riding was the passenger, went, jumped out.
I did hear this story.
But apparently
he wanted to go over the ocean.
Yeah. But no, he went and he jumped because he's like, I have cancer. You know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go out on my own term. He went, landed,
and he lived. Didn't die.
Yeah.
Yes, I did hear this. And then Bill Burr like talks about how, like, could you imagine like failing at trying to commit, is that the whole thing or something like that?
Yeah. Where he talks, he goes, he's sitting there, he's like, okay, you know, so we're coming over, sir, put your seatbelt on. Goes, he's like, grab the door. No. Oh shit.
Yeah. I'll have to find that clip. I definitely have to find that.
I saw this story down in Orange County, right? Down in Orange County, California. This guy gave helicopter tours for 30 years without incident. Hands the business off to his son, the American dream. I built it up for 30 years. Here you go, son. Make the family and the family name proud. All right, Dad, I love you. Right? This poor kid, 5 days in, he's supposed to give a tour to a couple. Only the dude shows up. The kid thought it was weird, but he's like, I need the money. I got to give him a tour. Right? So he takes this guy up. 10 minutes into the tour, the dude fucking jumped out. Yeah. 5 days in. 5 days in from the balloons and the cake. We love you, son. Keep the family tree going. The traditional life. 5 fucking days later, this kid, he probably barely had the speech down. Just sitting there flying the helicopter. All right, if you look out the left side of the aircraft, that's Orange County. There's over 27 miles of beaches. Put your seatbelt back on. 27 miles of beaches. Was established as a county in 1903. Sir, please don't open the door. Sir, what are you doing? Sir, no. Oh my God, what the fuck? What the fuck? Fuck! Air traffic control, I don't know who's on this frequency, but you really need somebody to jump out of the fucking helicopter! 5 days in. So I read further into the story. Turns out the guy who jumped out, he was 61 years old, terminally ill. He was in pain every day. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, and he had had enough. At that point, that guy immediately became a hero in my world, right? You know what I love about him? Not only did he make the decision, he didn't go out like some pussy, right? Handful of pills, watching a romantic comedy, wrapped in an Afghan that Nana made. Fuck that. This guy went out like a man. Take me up in a chopper. I'm looking at the land I love, and then I'm jumping out like a superhero. I loved it. I should have been wearing a fucking cape. I can't imagine how elated he must have been on that helicopter ride up after finally, you know, just taking back control of his life. Like, fuck you, disease. I decide. You know, ripping tubes out, gets a burger, shotguns a beer. Take me up in the chopper. He probably had his fucking foot on the dashboard. You know, he's not even listening to this guy giving the tour, right? Over 27 miles of beaches. Put your seatbelt back on. Established as a county in 1903. Sir, please don't try to open the door. No! Don't! Incredible. But here's the thing. I left out one small thing. There is one small thing. The guy fucking lived. They were out over the ocean, 500 feet up. You'd think that would be enough. So I'm thinking he must have gone in like Greg Louganis, like no splash. But witnesses said it looked like a dummy was falling out of the air. So that sounds like a hell of an impact. I think he accidentally did the most epic 500-foot belly flop in the history of jumping out of a helicopter, you know? But that didn't change what he was trying to do. Where his heart was, I still love this guy. I just feel bad for him. Just on the way down, he's got to be thinking, 3 more seconds of pain, 2 more seconds. Wow! Oh! Oh my God, this is worse! This is way worse! It has a happy ending, though. He later died at the hospital. That's right. So here's to him. God bless him. I hope I have the balls someday.
But anyways, the whole thing, it's very, very sad. But I just, listening to the audio, and he's just like making the jokes about the military base. And like, I don't think I should land there. And I guess there's other audio. My boss was telling me that it's him like, he's like, I'm going to land there and they're going to shoot me up. Like, and he's like, no, you already have permission. They're just trying to get the plane down.
They're like, we kind of don't want you to crash anything. We want the plane.
Well, you can hear it. They even tell him you can crash it into the water. Like, yeah. They don't want it to be near anybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously they're trying to figure out if it was a terrorist attack or, you know, something like that. But anyways, let's pep it up. Let's bring everybody back to smiles. You got anything else crazy that you've heard this week?
Well, it really won't be smile, but the Maryland football player.
What happened to the Maryland football player?
This
is what I just saw on Twitter. He's like passed away.
Yeah, they were in the middle of practice. Because college football coming up, they're doing conditioning and all that.
Yeah.
And players, they were running 110-yard sprints, and he got towards his last one, and the people noticed like he's just like dragging like
not
all
fast
this. Yeah. And someone goes and some of his teammates are like, hey, you know, like put go and like his like to the point like his head's like hanging back and the coach is like, you get his lazy ass back there, you know, thinking like he's just all that. Well, they went and then sent him to his drills, like position drills. And he went and up trainer Solomon's like, we gotta go. Like, we gotta get him inside and all that.
Yeah.
This was like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock when he went and got inside, went, had a seizure, took him to the hospital, died.
Jeez.
Yeah. So the coach, the head trainer, and like 2 other administrative people are on administrative leave right now. Cause Maryland's pretty much said like,
they could have stopped it.
Yeah, like we didn't follow protocol. Because there's a fine line, especially nowadays,
sure,
with
how far you can push,
you know, like coddling kids. Because obviously you can't do what they used to do in like the Bear Bryant days.
Sure.
Like Bear Bryant, I mean, for anyone who's never seen it was an ESPN movie called The Junction Boys. He took them out to literally an old army barracks and pretty much...
Yeah,
I think
rode the shit out of them.
I mean, did inhuman things to them in terms of what he made them do. But you know what? I mean, they went from like 170 kids that were on scholarship to like 40.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran the weaklings out kind of thing.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and on that point, I mean, you know how I feel about this. I mean, the way that I run my household, and, you know, I am a coddler. I am a big teddy bear. I'm a big sweetheart. Everybody that knows me, I am very sensitive. If I care about you, if I love you, but that does not, from when it comes to my children, that obviously I love them more than anything, but you're not getting away with shit in this political correctness and this, you know, no spanking and, you know, no telling them no and asking them what they want. Like I get that, you know, from the coaching perspective of, you know, we've gotten to the point now where we can't even tell guys to do fucking push-ups, or you know what I mean? Like, or they're going to sue you, you know? So, I mean, that I get it. I mean, obviously, you got to look at something a little bit more closely. And hindsight is 20/20. I don't know this story. I'm just hearing it from you right now. But that sucks that they have to take a leave of absence, you know, on, you know, obviously the kid had a pre-existing condition. I mean, unless it was caused by body temperature, you know, which can happen, and then that will put you into a seizure.
Oh yeah, but
Is it hot in Maryland right now? What's the? I mean, was it?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what the summer.
I think they said it was like 95 or so. Right. I mean, the day that happened,
where they were all full geared out.
I think they were wearing pads, and I mean, it's because it for anyone that's ever played football, you go your first few, you know,
you don't feel good, dude.
No, you go. You're running.
You want to quit?
Oh God, you're running the. I still say my least favorite. Least favorite thing for football was gassers. I can't think. It's late, people.
Yeah,
gassers.
Yeah.
I hated those. There was even I didn't have to do them because luckily I'd gone and my freshman year I dislocated my shoulder. I was out.
Oh no!
So I missed this, but like three kids when I was at Pius got caught drinking.
Yeah.
And they went and they called a.
So then everybody had to pay?
Yeah, they called it the Baton Death March.
Oh, yeah, what'd you do?
Well, what you do is you will go and you'll run to the 5-yard line,
mm-hmm.
do an up down.
Yeah.
Go to the 10, do an up down.
Yeah.
15, all the way down.
Yeah.
All the way back. That's one.
Nice.
They did 15.
Jeez.
Before practice.
Oh, so they were already done.
Yeah, because the coach pretty much, there was one kid, and he was probably one of the best in-shape kids I've ever met, like in terms of, you know, he could run forever and never got tired.
Yeah.
And I literally saw him to the point of like almost in tears, like his nerves, just his bot nerves were shot.
Ugh.
Oh, and it was.
And after drinking? No, thank you. Yeah,
that's where you go.
Give me some water. I want to hang out. Yeah. I don't do nothing.
Yeah, that's where you go. And just on that last one, it's like, push it. And you go and just run straight towards the cover.
With the big fingers up to the coach.
Yeah. Yeah, you get home and it's like, why are you still wearing your pads? Well.
Funny story.
Yeah,
funny. You know, coach is an asshole.
Believe it or not, I was drinking and
Well, that really sucks, and you're bringing it down again. But it needs to be known because we do talk about sports on the show for sure. And our hearts go out to Maryland players. What was the school?
Maryland.
The Maryland. Like,
yeah,
like,
Maryland Terrapins.
Like Under Armour sponsorship.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, hearts go out to those guys, and that's terrible. That's too young.
Yeah. I do have some. The next story is a little bit happier, I promise. Okay.
You got something happy.
Yes, I do. All
right, I'm ready.
I do.
Hit me with some happy, bro.
Lunch ladies.
Who doesn't love them?
Adam
Sandler sang about them.
Apparently these women in Connecticut.
Slopping Joe, slop. Is that from SNL? That's got to be from SNL.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, because wasn't it didn't he sing that in Chris Farley? It was
the lunch lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lunch lady lander. I'll find it. Yeah. Whatever.
No student can escape the magic of lunch lady land. Oh. Hoagies and grinders. Navy beans. Hoagies and grinders, navy beans, meatloaf sandwich, sloppy dough.
But apparently they went and it was a school in Connecticut, and they were noticing like, man, it seems like some money, you know, like it was never a lot. They were stealing money.
The lunch ladies were?
Yes. Like, it would come up just a little bit short. Little here.
Like, on every day on, like, the till? Like, when you're cashing out?
Yeah. You know,
so they balanced out the cash register every day?
Yes.
Okay.
But apparently, they stole $500,000.
What?
$500,000.
The same school?
Yes, from 2002 to 2012, I think.
That's it?
Yeah.
10 years?
10 years. Stole 500 G's.
What a racket.
If you go and you're sitting in school and you're thinking,
how do you even do that? I'm trying to, so 10 years, I'm going to do the math here. 365. Well, it's not even. So what's a school year?
Buck 80?
9 months?
Buck 80?
We'll call it a buck 80. Just for times 10 is 1,800 days of serving lunch. Okay, so 500,000 divided by 1,800. That's $277 a day. So it had to be over a longer period of that. I mean, because they would have to be, unless it's with their pay plus what they were stealing.
That could, I mean, I.
Do you know what the story said?
In all honesty, I went and I just read a little blurb on it. And I'm like, oh my God. Because someone posted a thing on Twitter and they're like, dear God, my lunch ladies are on the front of you, the New York Times.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine that, thinking like, if you're a parent dropping your kid off at school and thinking, oh, look at the two lunch ladies. Look at Ethel. Look at...
Holy shit. And it's one older lady and like one like... Holy shit.
Yeah, if you're thinking, you're like, oh, there's, you know, Ethel. There's, you know, Janine or something like that. They're such nice ladies. And you come to find out those...
Dude, you got the years wrong. This is crazy. All right, listen to this. Their next gig might be serving up bologna sandwiches behind bars. A pair of lunch ladies in one of Connecticut's richest towns skimmed nearly $500,000 from the cafeteria till in 5 years.
Fuck me. Yeah,
and cops believe they were looting the schools for even longer. So what it says is when they weren't slinging tater tots at middle school and New Canaan High School, sisters Joanne and Marie Wilson swiped $478,588 between 2012 and 2017.
Holy shit.
So cafeteria cashiers told cops that the duo who oversaw the lunchrooms at the schools ordered them not to tally each day's take in the register and instead let them count up and log the funds. The sisters would then underreport their earnings and pocket the difference.
Those dirty bitches. Oh my God.
Oh my God. So the funniest part is it was uncovered by school officials probing an unrelated accounting discrepancy. Oh, see, that's where people get greedy.
Oh yeah.
You get $250K, you're done.
Yeah.
Just leave. Yeah. Like, just, fuck that. Get $100K and you just.
Yeah. Well, it's like those.
Didn't anybody not know they were driving Ferraris to school? I mean, I'm just saying.
It's just like, well, you know, the lunch lady went from driving a 77 Buick to a, you know, 2018.
That's what I mean. Like, and in 5 years, I mean, that's a really, and your lunch ladies, like, you got to be being watched by, the fact is they're both the higher up points. That to me is, it was the genius.
When I first saw the title, though, and it said sisters, I thought it was nuns. I go and I'm like, there's no way
the in new that. Sister act.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no way in hell. Can you imagine, like, just two nuns?
I'm sure they
Yeah, you just two nuns. You find out, and all of a sudden you're just like,
dude. So even more fucked up story. We're riding around in the truck today at work, and again, my boss pointed this out to me. Shout out, Tom. What's up, bro? I was on my phone, like, looking at somebody's, like, did you hear that? And I was like, what? And there was a Catholic church at some parish, like, where they all were, that these fucking creep ass priests were any girl or boy that was easy, so that they knew that they could take advantage of, they would give them a golden cross so that they would know that this person, something's already happened, and that you'll be able to do it too. Can you believe that shit? How fucking sickening is that? I don't even know how there's still stuff going on with the Catholic Church. All of this shit. Yeah, it's sickening. It's sad. We keep bringing up real sad shit, but I just could not believe you were talking about sisters and nuns. So I didn't get to hear the full story. I just heard the tail end of it, but sickening.
What so. About you? Think they'll serve ramen noodles in the jail?
Oh my God, this story. We have to end with this because it's fucking genius.
A hundred Okay.
It's not even,
okay.
It doesn't even make sense. Because
okay. It sounds like three fucking stoners in Georgia go, this guy who delivers ramen noodles, delivers ramen noodles, went, left his truck, apparently left it unattended. Somehow.
My thing is they don't deliver ramen noodles. Do they deliver ramen noodles as like a semi-truck? I mean,
it's got to be for 100 G's.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. That's right. It was something outrageous.
100 grand of ramen noodles.
And they took it, all of it.
And they put it in a car. I'm like, how in the flying fuck does that happen?
Have you seen the meme of the ramen noodle truck that wrecked and then they're all over and they're like, oh no, the company lost like 25 cents or something. I mean, really, think about how much we buy ramen for.
I mean,
I lived off it in college, but
yeah,
I'm just saying.
I mean, if you think about it, you go to some gas station if they made like one in actual
the
like mom,
cups.
Like the mom and pop ones. They'll go and be like, it's like, well, this one's, you know, it's like, how much is it? Oh, it's like 50 cents. It's like, I'll give you 30 for it. Sold.
Sold, yeah. Yeah, because literally the cost is, I mean, nothing.
Yeah, they're making a...
I mean, I've literally concocted so many things with ramen noodles. I mean, there's whole cookbooks that you can take that shit and turn it into good food.
Yeah, well, you got to sit there and think sometimes. You're like, okay, I got $3 to my name. I can buy some ramen noodles.
Yeah.
I can buy something that looks like chicken, and I can buy a soda.
Yeah.
What can I do with this?
Yeah. 98 grand, dude. What the? I'm looking it up right now.
Do you see how many it was?
Yeah. So the incident occurred about 3 weeks ago. Lieutenant Alan Stevens with the Fayette County Sheriff's Office told the Atlanta Journal Constitution, while some outlets are reporting investigation involves a string of robberies, including multiple car break-ins and one motorcycle theft, the fact that this is the noodles were stolen from a trailer parked at a Chevron at one, whatever, the highway doesn't matter. There have been no updates on the heist as of Wednesday afternoon. The police report did not specify the brand of noodles. Oh, so it could have been somebody's. But a fun fact, here's a fun fact, a single packet of Maruchan?
Ramen noodles.
Yeah, whatever. which you know is ramen and we know is ramen. Maruchan ramen typically costs less than 30 cents at your local grocery store. With 100,000, one could devour more than 300,000 noodle-packed meals through such a regimen would likely not be doctor approved. Oh my God, between the preservatives and the packaging... What was the stat you heard? You could eat it what?
You could eat it every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a year and a half straight.
How many packets is it?
It was
98,000?
Yeah.
You figured it out?
337,931 packages of ramen.
Times 0.30. What did you get?
I was going off an article. It said 337,931.
Jeez. Yeah. 320. I got, if you take 98,000 divided by 30 cents, it's $326,666.66.
Yeah. Either way.
Either way, it's a fuck. Yours was pretty close though, right?
Well,
that's right.
Well, I say you went from 98, I went for the 100.
Well,
so.
Yeah, that would make the difference. And I've never heard of ramen being 30 cents.
I say it's usually 25 cents.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought normally like a pack of it. I don't know. No, I haven't bought ramen in a while. I mean, I do buy
the
ramen,
pack,
but
yeah, it's
just the single pack. Normally, now I buy them in the beef like 10 packs because like I said, I like to chop veggies up and like I don't like to use their salt packets, but I definitely do I feel like a chef. All right, I make myself feel cool. I have one pan with the noodles and boiling. And then I crack some eggs in there, and then I get really fancy with like the sauces, and then like the spices, salt and pepper, whatever. Anyways,
every time you put the salt in, you go bam.
Yeah, fun fact, fun admiral.
That was a callback.
Yeah, the one fun fact about me is I really do enjoy cooking a lot. So guys, please send me cooking videos, recipes. I am super, super into that stuff. I just got a new knife set, so I've been chopping up a storm up in
my
kitchen.
Should we do that one day? Our own cooking?
Oh, I don't know how that would go.
I mean,
I'm super controlling in the kitchen. I'm super controlling, period. You know
that. Oh, yeah. I can imagine it would go in, and it's just like, it's like, oh, I can go and crack an egg. Will you shut the fuck up? Move.
By the way, I hope you guys listened to the end of the last one, because there was a nice little Easter egg there at the end if you listened past the music.
Real quick, though, I the only thing I imagine is when it said it was ramen, it was in Georgia. I just imagine that it was just three kids baked out of their head.
Yo, it's got, yeah, right? Like, you know what we should do?
No, they're driving by and it's like, you know what sounds real good, man? Some ramen. And they go and they drive by and you just hear like that. And they go and they're like, this is a gift from God.
Yeah. Look at that whole, I'm sorry, man, 100,000. That's got to be so many packets. My thing is they would have to have a fucking trailer of their own to get that many in. I don't know.
And the thing is, someone's like, it's like, okay, you steal it, hypothetically. Okay, one, you can't eat that much.
Yeah.
Two, is there legitimately like a black
market? What if they're Robin Hood? Ooh. What if they're giving it to homeless?
I would say, yeah, someone's like, is there really like a black market for ramen?
There could be.
I would say
what if they got specialty flavors that we can't get?
Yeah, it's like what's his flavor? Dog. It's like
shout out Asians.
Yeah, shout out Asians. That's a market corner right there.
Ooh. Let's get into it.
Oh yeah.
Are you do you have big plans for the weekend? I'm out of town this weekend. What do you got going on? Boring.
Probably go. I got nothing. Probably have a few beers. That's about it.
A few beers, my ass.
Oh, there was, I won't give the name of the place that I work, but guy showed up today, hungover as shit.
Yeah.
And I go, and I really don't like him, and I walk, I don't.
Is the young guy?
Yeah. And I'm just like, you look like hell. And he's like, man, I feel sick and all that. And he's like, and he kind of got like real quiet, and he's like, I'm hungover. I'm like, I don't care. And he's like, man, I stayed out late. He's like, I had like six beers last night. I'm like, okay.
We drank that literally.
We've had six on a podcast.
All that says is either that says that guy's a lightweight or we have a fucking problem.
That could be it. But I was sitting there listening and he goes in. But then for some reason he copped an attitude with me and he's like, I bet I could drink more beer than you, and I'm like, as much as you can find.
I would love to see that actually.
Yeah, and I did. I told him, I said, first of all, I said, make the check out to me early. I said, first of all, and I will still be drinking when you wake up from being passed out.
Oh my god.
Oh, it was so ridiculous. Oh, and real quick, it's a wrestling news, and it is a little bit of a downer, unfortunately. There was another wrestler that did pass away.
Who's this time?
Guy's name was Jim the Anvil Neidhart. He was actually partners with Bret the Hitman Hart.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Were they brothers?
No. Actually...
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. Ironically enough, Neidhart was actually his real name, but he married Bret Hart's sister. Because Bret Hart has like 11 siblings.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, 11 siblings, and only one of them didn't marry someone in the wrestling business.
Jeez.
I mean, his dad was a wrestler.
So they're just wrestle money.
Yeah. So it was, you know, it is, I know that was a little bit of a downer, but, you know, just want to kind of give him a shout out.
You got
to
put it out there.
Just want to talk about that on the
show. Yeah,
another one of the greats, unfortunately, passing away. He was only in his 60s, I think.
Jeez.
But, yeah, he'd lived a rough life, and... all that.
Spend that money.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, kind of how it goes sometimes is, as they say, you know, none of us live forever.
I think that's a good way to end it. Yeah. Guys, none of us live forever. Spoken from the true and wise, just kidding, Alex Hebert. Buddy, I'm glad we got this in. I know that we're trying to stay consistent, and I know we're trying to, you know, get after it. Schedules, mostly me, not you. So I apologize to everybody. We are going to be consistent. We are getting this out, which is why I said, you know what, let's do one tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, have a good weekend. I'm going to go on this trip. We'll talk about it when I get back, and I'm sure I'll talk to you coming up this weekend anyway, because the Chiefs are playing. I know it's only preseason, so there's no reason to really touch on it. But just so you guys know, during the Chiefs season, that will be an exclusive part of talking about the game, how we look, all of that stuff for our Kansas City fans. We'll be touching on the teams that we're playing as well. So it's for everybody. And we're not going to call it a segment. It'll be part of the show. There's not going to be at a specific time or any of that stuff. But yeah, so you have something to close. Do you have some crazy words? I always say that to you.
I do.
Okay, hit them with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I always look forward to this time that I can go and give you words of advice to live by to make it through to the next episode of the Off My Chest podcast. Remember this, when it is hot outside, please make sure to never freeball. because there will be rubbish, you will get a rash, and it will hurt. Peace. I woke. I went and I'm like, oh, I'll do laundry. Last night, and I went because I'm like, oh, I'm only down to one pair of underwear. And I realized
that happened to you today.
Yes,
that's why you ended it with that.
Yes,
so what happened? You did laundry, what?
No, I did laundry last night because I'm like, oh, I've got one pair, I got a pair of underwear for tomorrow, throw the laundry, you know, and all that. Well, I got up this morning, look, couldn't find the underwear, all my shit was still wet, and I'm like, son of a bitch. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm free balling today, and I'm like, this fucking blows.
That's awesome.